That's the sound of yaks make. Seriously. Okay. As I remember, we were like catching up on the root text. We had translated pieces of the root text. And the reason we're doing that is because in the next section that we haven't gotten, that we're about to get to, he throws in huge amounts of root text. So I thought we should just sort of refamiliarize ourselves with the root text. The root text has only been coming in rare places, and now we're gonna try to chop out all the places where it came before, try to get a feel for its continuity, which we don't have yet. Who's root text? Bye. Master Chen and Kimpi. Yeah, that's the wrong class. That's the book table. Okay, but the root text is by Iyengar. So everybody's right. Okay. So this is the root text. We talked about the three causes for bodhisattvas. And he's saying the praises of compassion. And then he connected that compassion to a lack of understanding of emptiness. The people you're compassionate towards are people who are cycling through disasters in their life, the end of each disaster causing the beginning of the next disaster. You see? Their reaction to disaster one creates disaster two, then their reaction to disaster two creates disaster three. So they are like a, we said water wheel, but it's more like a bucket in a well that's getting banged on the sides of the well up and down. Up and down could be this life, past life, next life, but it could also be every 10 minutes in your life, okay? You know, your reaction to a problem 10 minutes ago is going to create the next problem in 10 more minutes from now, like that. So the cycle goes in macro cycles and mini cycles. And I think helplessly is important. They're helpless because they don't know why. So they keep reacting to the last problem in an ignorant way. So they're helpless. Like this, of all the suggestions or of all the books written on how to improve your life, if this idea is correct, that you are creating your future reality by your reaction to your current reality, then almost all the books that exist are wrong. And almost all the ideas of how to help yourself are wrong. And so they're hopeless and helpless. Until they get some kind of an idea that what they're doing to other people is why things are happening to them, then they're helpless. Nothing can help. No book can help. No philosophy can help. We were sort of fantasizing about when did the first person discover karma. And it was like a caveman. And he lived up on the side of a hill, like where Chisima and Peter's house is going to be. And he had some carcass of some ant deer like he killed. And he was eating it. And then he was holding it off towards the side of the cliff, and then it slipped out of his hands. And then there were some other cavemen way down below, like where we were building the path yesterday. And so they like waved up, thank you for the deer, you know, and they started eating it, you know. And then he was sort of irritated, but the next day he went out to hunt, and there's three deer sitting there, you know. And then for some reason he made the connection, you know, oh, I gave some food to somebody else, now I have more food. So we were like, I don't know, what do you call it? Call it guess, or speculating about who discovered karma first. And maybe it was like that. I mean, it would take some, like we'd like to think we're very sophisticated now, and we can fly in space, and we can go under the water, and like that. We can fly in the sky in iron birds. But the leaps of understanding that people made hundreds of, like Benjamin Franklin, they're much greater leaps than what we do now. If you ask me how a plane works, or if you ask me to make a plane, I can't do it. I don't understand. But they're making these huge leaps of understanding. And this is the greatest one of in history, to understand that what's happening to you is a direct reflection of your own life. And that's so difficult for us, for some reason. So anyway, we're not helpless. At least somebody told us that that's what's going on, whether or not we can act on it. It doesn't seem to be the case for me. But anyway, So I'm going to see if the next part of the root text has been translated yet by us. Okay. So I slip over to the other document. And again, that's why I leave things in Roman until the last minute, because then I can do that kind of thing. So we've done the first part of this verse. Let's recite it together. You ready? It's poetry, so we're gonna go. Da-dun. Okay. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Do wa yo we. Chi Nankin Dawa Ta Yo Da Rang Shi Ni Ki Thong Ba Thong Ma Yi Gya We Se Po Di Sen Ka Do Wa Na Nam Pa Cho Wa Cha Chi Ning Che Wong Kyu Shi. Let's see if we've done the second half of that verse. I don't know if we have. We have. So let's take that one out. Bodhisattva cities think beings as flickering and devoid of having any real nature. Two ideas there. Flickering means what? So they have compassion for people for two reasons. One is that those people will die and get old, and their life will pass like a dream. We see our dance teacher now. Somebody was saying this evening, they said, can she get down the hill? They're worried about whether she can walk down the hill. And when she was here a year ago, she's teaching us dance, you know. And so people see people like that, and they say, they look at us who are healthy, and they see what we will be in 10 years or 20 years or 50 years. They already see that in us. They look at us and they see an old person or a dying person. So a bodhisattva looks at a healthy person and sees what they will be. And flickering, the health only lasts for a few years. and then it's gone. And there are people around us like that, and then we don't listen, we don't pay attention. Then devoid of having any real nature. So the person's not old and the person's not young, the person's not strong and the person's not weak from their own side, right? How they see themselves depends on what they've done towards others, and how we see them depends on how we've acted towards others. So if you see someone who's been very healthy and very strong, and then you see them as their health failing, it's because you personally haven't helped other people enough. So you live in a world where that's happening. And then they become a slave to compassion. It becomes a obsession with them to help people realize that, for example, the condition of their body is coming from how they've taken care of other people. So they become a slave to that idea, and they can't rest even if they wanted to rest, and they can't ignore it even if they wanted to ignore it, and they can't stop trying to do something. So that's, in Tibetan it's Wangkyur. Say Wangkyur. Ningjie Wangkyur. Ningjie Wangkyur. So Ning means heart. What's a J in Dorje mean? King or Lord of Stones is a diamond. This J means king. So king heart, which is compassion, king of hearts. Wangkyur. Wangkyur means they become slaves of. They go under the power of compassion. They don't have a choice. Compel. They find bliss in making dedication of their good with the prayer of Samadhi. Let's read the line. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Kundu sambu manbe rablo gawala ratu neba teni tambo shechao tene sunte teni topa kirpai chanchu senpa sheje da seems like too many, right? Chandu Samba Shaje Dani Kinito. 11, right? Dene Sunte Dene Topar Kyoba. Same. It just didn't seem the same. Chandu Samba Shaje Dani Kinito. Oh, okay. It doesn't quite come out in the Tibetan. Maybe he pushed it. It doesn't quite fall into pairs properly. Okay. But he probably had to push it because of the Sanskrit. It's a translation, right? Okay, let's see if we have the second half of this verse. Dene sunte. This is where he starts throwing the root text in like wildly, instead of explaining it himself. And that's where we are. That's how far we've gone. So we've done all we can do as far as getting re-familiar with the root text. Okay? That's all we've translated so far. In 2 years, that's all we've ever covered. Okay? And then now we have to go back to the commentary and start fresh stuff. But I kind of wanted to, let me see. This is where I'd like to pick up. Okay, this is where we'll start. we can start translating again. Here, secondly, is our explanation of the nature of each of the individual levels. Which levels? Bodhisattva levels. So basically, remember that the structure of both of these texts is to follow the 10 Bodhisattva levels. So Master Shantideva's text is similar. The Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life is similar. It's roughly structured around the 6 perfections. And so is the Umalajupa. So is Master Chandrakirti's text. So he's going to talk about the first 5 levels that begin with extreme bliss. Then he's going to dedicate equal time to the 6th level called the manifest. And then he'll speak about the 7th level and the rest. If there's 10 Bodhisattva levels, why did the first 5 get lumped together? Why does number 6 get special treatment? Sorry? Yeah, but that's also true of the first 4 and the 5th.
The 6th prefer the first 5.
What is it? How does the 6th differ from the first 5? What's the 6th one about? Yeah, perfection of wisdom. So, when you're in the monastery, you cover the first 5 perfections in like a couple of weeks, and then you spend a couple of years on the 6th chapter. You see what I mean? So, it's really a book about emptiness, and really the whole subject is about the 6th chapter. So he's gonna give you the first 5 perfections, but they are, what do you call it? They are, what's worse than feeble? Ineffective or worse than that?
Impotent.
What was the other one?
Impotent.
Yeah, they're like impotent without the 6th. Okay? Like, to do nice things for people, to give people things, money, help, love, if it's done without perfection and wisdom, if you don't know what you're doing, if you don't know how what you're doing is going to change reality, then it's almost the same as not doing it at all. Because it will have a brief effect, and then that effect will die out. And you'll be back where you were. You'll be back suffering. So the first 5 perfections or good deeds done without the 6th, without understanding emptiness, are almost useless, meaningless, just about meaningless. And you meet people, they go through their lives, they're nice people, they're good people. And out of an instinct from their past lives, they try to help people to some extent. And perhaps they even do that throughout the length of their lives. But in the end, for them, it's just the same result. They get old, they get feeble, and they die. And then all the nice things they've done wear out. The food they've given away is eaten. The houses they've built for others fall down. And then everyone's back at the beginning, you see? Because they don't have the worldview which imbues those first 5 actions with an ability to help people eternally, forever, indefinitely. So we divide the first 5 from the 6th. We study the first 5 in a quick way so we can get to the 6th. Because it makes the first 5 eternal. Okay. So, but here's the first 5. The first level called extreme bliss, immaculate, radiance, blazing light, indomitable. These will be the first 5 bodhisattva levels. Then he's going to cover extreme bliss. First, in a way where he summarizes the text in a general way. This is sort of a difficult part because he's just going to kind of race through the root text. He's not even going to give you all the lines. He's going to say, "Oh, this relates to root text line number 28 to 29," and it just goes on, you know. So it's going to take us longer than that because we have to stop and translate it. Then he goes on to an explanation of the text itself. Here they talk about the qualities of certain levels. What is it that distinguishes each level from other levels? You know prayer of Samatabhadra? What? Well, roughly, it's a long dedication prayer. And it's from the Kangir, I think. I think it's in the Kangir. But the part that we often do is to cover the sky with flowers mentally and to give it away. But the prayer is much longer than that. Kundasambo, very famous prayer. So talking about the first bodhisattva level, we'll talk about what makes one's own mind beautiful. How do your qualities outshine the qualities of the minds of others? And then how do the qualities of this level surpass what you were before? Okay. So we're talking about what makes the first bodhisattva level special. Then it says, we will attain a special name with a special meaning. They'll call us ultimate bodhisattva when we first attain the ultimate form of the worshipper enlightenment. Two parts of the definition of the worshipper enlightenment. Ora gave it in Bendigo, Australia, in 1998. It was really cool. Still remember? Semkepani. Yeah, say Semke Pani, Shenden Chir, Yanda Zope, Chanju Du. Semke Pani, what is bodhicitta? What is the attitude of a bodhisattva? Semke Pani, Shenden Chir. For the sake of others, Shenden Chir, Zope Chanju. You want to achieve total enlightenment. For the sake. Two elements there. You want to get enlightened. And then you want to do it for everybody in the universe. And I said it many times, I'll say it again. Bodhicitta or being a bodhisattva is not just being a nice person. And you can call someone who's nice and helpful to others a bodhisattva, but that's not what it is. It means very specifically the intention and the belief that you yourself have the power to become a being who can emanate on countless planets and help billions of beings at the same time, countless beings at the same time. The belief that you can do that, and then the intention to get there and to work for that, that's bodhicitta. Okay. But they call it kunzope semke. Kunzo semke. Say kunzo?
Kunzo.
Semke.
Semke.
What's kunzo? Deceptive. Okay. Deceptive. Why deceptive? Because You're not perceiving
ultimate reality.
So you're still fooled. Okay? You're still fooled. It's a nice intention, you know. You're imagining billions of worlds. That's why we read science fiction books, Christine and me, before we go to bed. Because we just read science fiction books for like an hour or 45 minutes because we want to get our mind on that level. Keep it there every day. You know, so they're like flying from planet to planet or galaxy to galaxy, just trying to keep our mind on that level. So it's nice. It's a good thing, but still you're a fool. Why? Yeah, you think the beings you want to save are coming from their side. So it's like this interesting thing that if you could perfect yourself, then slowly, all the beings around you would appear to you as perfect. Okay? And Tantra is what? What's Dribu Lampu Kipa? Dribu Lampu Kipa. Yeah, use the result as
Pa.
You use the result as a Pa. So in Tantric practice, you pretend everyone's already enlightened around you. And they're just letting you get up and talk because you're the last one in the room that's not enlightened yet. So thanks for that. And then you imagine you're already there, and you live as though you were already there. You live among people as if you were already there. And then that puts a seed in your mind for it to happen faster within one lifetime. Okay? So what's the ultimate form of bodhicitta? Yeah, the highest form of kindness is to see that there's no one in your life that's not coming from you. Okay? The highest kind of kindness is to realize that there's no one that you're going to save who is not coming from you. Okay? That's emptiness. So am I just this lonely soul living in my own head? You know, Anatole, Andrea, and everybody else, they're just like apparitions in my mind. And I'm like stuck inside my brain for the rest of eternity. Why not? Yeah. Yeah. I'm first of all, as James said, I'm just as projected as they are. So it's not like one person's living in their head. If everyone else is my projection, so am I. So my head is also a projection. That means there's nobody at all. It's not lonely, it's there's nobody. But also what that implies is, I mean, what it implies is, what you really have to grasp is that I am projecting Anatole and Adriana as other people. And I'm projecting myself as a third person. And that's fine. And we can live like that, you know. And I can help them and they can help me. I can wish to get enlightened for them. They can wish to get enlightened for me. When I get enlightened, I'll see them as perfect. When they get enlightened, they'll see me as perfect. No problem there, okay? Because I'm not projecting them as the three of us as one clump. I'm projecting us as three different people. That means we are three different people. So no problem there. You're not living inside your head. And it's not like nothing counts, or you're just lonely. You're on some long heroin thing or something. It's not like that. Okay. So we're going to talk about how you become an ultimate bodhisattva, because you have the ultimate wish for enlightenment, because you santanas directly, which is the ultimate kindness. And then he says, she chepala dene sutta dene tova kipa yi shepane dene tova kipa tova yi. Practice a little Tibetan script. Okay. Thanks to Abel, I think. Did you do this? Yeah. Okay. All right. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. She che ba la de ne su de de ni to ba che ba yi she ba ne di. this point is explained, you know, the special name you're going to get, how you're special, how your mind is now beyond other people's minds. This point is explained in the lines of the root text that begin with, from this point on, Dene Sinte, Dijita Pakyate. So, instead of just telling us why the bodhisattvas get a special name at this point, and instead of just telling us how do their minds differ from other people's minds, he says, oh, that's in the root text. It's from A, the word A, up to the period. And then he just goes on. This is because he assumes you've memorized it and you know it. Unfortunately, we haven't memorized it and we don't know it. So we kind of have to go to the root text and we have to take out this chunk and translate it. So I think we did the first part. From this point on, because of what they have attained, the person is referred to with that one name of Bodhisattva. They have as well... What's Bodhisattva in Tibetan? Changchu Sempa. What's Changchu? Bodhi, right? Bodhi. What's Chang mean? What's Chu mean? Chang means to purify, like Jang. And what's Chu mean? Chu means to grasp or to understand, to understand completely. So Chang Chu means cleaned everything out and understands everything completely. Remove the two obstacles. And that's the word the Tibetans chose for Bodhi. But what did they choose for Sattva? Sempa. Warrior of the mind. Okay, warrior of the mind. It's a beautiful translation, Chandu Sempa. But that's how they translate Bodhisattva. An enlightened warrior of the mind. Something like that. Although they're not enlightened yet. They're certainly a warrior. Okay. They have as well now taken birth into family of those Gandhas. And they have eliminated every form of the three different shackles. What are the three different shackles? Kunjor, say Kunjor, Sun. Kunjor, Sun. Kun means completely, Jor means... What does it mean? What's it in Sanskrit? Yoga. Okay. But what is the original meaning of yoga? To join two things together. So Kundujoa means that thing which glues you to samsara. That thing which glues you to your suffering. So there are three states of mind which glue us to our suffering. And anyone who sees emptiness directly for the first time, in that same instant, they remove those three thoughts forever. They can never get those three thoughts again. What are they? Name anyone. Sorry? Yeah, first doubt about the path. I mean, you're never going to doubt the path again if you saw emptiness directly. You saw a Buddha directly. You saw your future enlightenment directly. So the next time you pick up a Buddhist book, it's not going to be the same thing. It's going to be some kind of reverence. It's like, oh, this is true. This is the only recipe for a cure for AIDS. You know, you understand now. So then your whole relationship with the teachings changes. Right? And even with tankas, even with paintings, oh, these people are among those that fragile line which is keeping these teachings alive in this world. Oh, I should respect this painting. The only sane thing in the world has been passed down through these people. You know? So, oh, then your whole mind changes. So no more doubt. Another one? Who said that? Oh, hi. Okay, good. Yeah. So they say that we have two misperceptions of reality. One is inborn. We have it from birth. All living creatures have it. Ants have it. We were pulling up rocks yesterday on the path. There are these tiny little grubs under the rocks. They're little scorpions. They have it. They have an inborn belief that what's happening to them is happening from outside of them and not from them. Right? Even those grubs, those tiny little worms, and the scorpion that we saw, they have this belief. Say, Dungjin? Shenge. Dangjin. Shenge. So they had this. Shenge means inborn. Dangjin means tendency to see things the wrong way. But then there's a second kind, which is called, say, Dangjin. Kuntak. Dangjin. Kuntak. This means on an intellectual basis, I believe that things, if you ask me, if you push me, you know, if you like get me in an emergency and there's a fire or somebody's yelling at me or there's a car accident or something, Dangjin Henge takes over. This is happening from inside. I must take steps to stop it. If I pour water on this fire, it will go out. Because it's happening on the outside of me. But when you're under pressure, that's why they say go to graveyards or go to high buildings and stand near the side. You know, and then your Dangjin Henge will take over and you can watch it. You can witness Dangjin Henge, you know, get in an argument with somebody. And then halfway through, just walk away and watch your Dangjin Henge. You know, they're bad. They're not being nice to me. What they said was wrong. You know, then you try to introduce the idea to this person that that other person has come from them, and they're like, no way. You know, maybe when I was calm, they might have been coming from me, but not now. You know, now they hurt me. Now they're bad. You know? So that's Dangjin Henge takes over. But then when you're calm and you're like sitting on the toilet or something and you're thinking about it and you're like, well, maybe they did come from me. You know, what's that? Is it a bug? Did Dangjin Henge take over? They don't bite words. Yeah, Dangjin Henge takes on. Okay. And then Dangjin Kundak is like, in quiet moments, do you really believe that this person who bugs you comes from their side? And you say, no, I don't believe that, but you can't hang on to it. Okay, like, you will lose it. There'll be times that you lose it. Once you see emptiness directly, you can never lose it again. You can slip in moments of anger or something, but intellectually, you can never again believe that what you see is coming from anywhere but yourself. Okay? So a person who sees emptiness doesn't have that anymore. You know, they may slip under times of stress, but in a quiet moment when they're reflecting, they know that everything is coming from them, from how they treated other people. So Dangjin Kundak is the second of these. What's the third? Attraction to ascetic practices that would hurt you. Like harmful ascetic practices, okay? And that's like, you know, like cutting off your parts of your body. There's one in India where you hold your arm up until it shrivels away, or you stare at the sun until you go blind, and things like that that don't help anybody and they don't help you. So once you've seen emptiness directly, that idea goes away. You don't have that idea anymore. There was one in the Da Vinci Code, right? The guy was doing that thing on his leg. Right? That's a Sutum Dan Tushu Chongjingi Da. In Tibet, it's called Sutum Dan Tushu Chongjingi Da. Sutum means stupid ideas about stupid morality. They consider that a kind of morality. Tushu means spiritual tough guy. Those are wrong kind. To hurt your holy body, your holy temple, is just dumb. So anyway, Kunjorsum. They have eliminated those three shackles that bind them. Okay, let's read this together. You ready? One. Oh, let's see if we have it in there. We added this. Okay. We're going to have to read it from the Roman. It's getting quiet. I think you need the... Yeah. Okay. Nah. Well... my plan, you know, you get all hyped up from the sugar and then you're cranky in Christie's class. Okay. almost better if you had something in your mouth, but we'll do it anyway. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Chong Chu Senpa E Ni Ga Chong Tu Kyu Chong Shi Ji Den Kam Yang Gu Ne Yo Wa Nu Pa Kyu Bang Yin Sa Ne Sa Nu Che Chin Kong Ma Ra Tu Ro Ma Kyu Te Se Di Nyen Du Lan Na Ta Da Ga Pa Kyu. Just to draw your attention to this one, say Gyurpa-ang. 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 Now say Gyurpa-ang. Gyurpa-ang. I'll say them again. First one, Gyurpa-ang. Second one, Gyurpa-ang. So in poetry, if you need a meter, if you need a beat or you want to take a beat out, we just throw in one of these ba'ans, and it can be read either way. See what I mean? So in this case, jikten, kamgya, gune, yor, nupan, kya ba'an yin. Okay? Alright? So you should know that when you're reading poetry. You can read it as two beats, you can read it as one beat. It's a dhamka. What's a dhamka? Yeah, dhamka means you can go either way. It's a Tibetan thing called the dhamka. So we'll translate it. Bodhisattva holds the very highest form of bliss. What is the highest form of bliss? Is it really a Takahiku?
Wisdom realizing emptiness?
Yeah. Imagine the day you get there and you see emptiness directly and you come down, you realize you've met the Buddha. And then you see your own enlightenment. And then shortly after you see all the beings on countless planets, and you understand that you will be helping them for the rest of your existence. And you can always go back to that. You know? So your life has changed. Your life is completely different from other people's lives. For the rest of your life, forever, you don't have any real mental anguish like other people do. You see? Because you know how the story ends. You know? You've seen the end of this. You went flipped through the last page and saw the end of the story. The other people are all like in suspense. They don't know if they're going to die first or get there first, or they don't know how to, many lifetimes, maybe one, maybe a billion to go. You know, they don't know even if there is enlightenment. They're not sure. They can't really be sure because they didn't see it. So like you're now in a separate category. That's what Arya means, right? Separate category. And you don't imagine what it's like to live without any major mental doubts or anguish at all forever. Just not there anymore. No uncertainty about where you're going to be or what's going to happen. So it's a really, it's not so much like a ecstasy, drug ecstasy type of thing. I don't know what that is. It wasn't invented when I was doing drugs, but it's more like this deep contentment or happiness from knowing what's how the story ends. And you know everything's going to turn out as good as it, you ever could have imagined. It's going to be better than that. So you don't have any, not really any mental pain much anymore. Like day-to-day small things. I didn't get my cookie, you know. But nothing big at all, you know. And nothing can really upset you or bother you or change you from your path.
Okay.
It has two meanings. So that's why I made it sort of an ambiguous passive tense. When you achieve Tonglen, when anyone in the universe achieves the path of seeing, it's a big event, and it causes a jolt through the whole universe. The universe jolts slightly. You know, everyone in the universe who's at a certain level can feel it. You know, somebody has just seen emptiness directly. You know, somewhere in the universe, someone has seen emptiness directly. So it creates in a short term. In the immediate sense, it sends a jolt through the whole universe that every being who's at a certain level can sense. And then they rejoice. You know, they're like happy. They know something has happened. They know someone has seen emptiness directly. And then the second meaning is that within a short amount of time, your channels will open and your chakras will open to the point where we talked about it, I think, somewhere. Especially your navel chakra will open to the point where you are aware that what you are doing is influencing many planets, many worlds. So the things that you do reverberate or jolt or shake many other worlds. Diamond Mountain's creation, Diamond Mountain's continuation, and every word that's spoken in the class of Diamond Mountain is now affecting not just this world in slow ripples, but is directly affecting many other worlds in very direct ways. So you're aware of that. At a certain point, you're aware of that. So it's kind of very encouraging. It's not just like, oh, we're having good classes and that's going to affect Shanghai, which it is already. You see? But this is affecting many worlds. And that's like a big shaking up many worlds. Did you have a question?
What level would someone have to be at to feel that somebody else has become an Arya?
I think other Aryas. don't think below I am. Maybe on a sense, you can sense it maybe. But I think other Aryas and Bodhisattva Aryas, high Bodhisattva Aryas, how's that? And the doors to the realms of misery are forever shut to them. They can't take a lower birth anymore. Is that correct? Not technically. When do you shut the doors to the lower realms? Say it? What part of the path of perfection?
Mastery.
Jorlam Sit. Can you say Jorlam? Sit. Let's check. This is the cool thing about the database. This is the cool thing about 19 and a half years of work by some crazy people. I'll just say sir. Let's say Jorlam sir. Near, how do you say paths of realms of misery? Meaning the three lower births. Animal? Album? Yeah, hell realm and creative spirits. The minute you say hell in America, everybody's mind turns off. Well, there's no such thing. That's the old Christian thing they used to scare us with. And then C.S. Lewis, I think, this great theologian in England, said one of the greatest achievements of the devil in modern times is to get people to think it's not sophisticated to think about hell. Anyway, let's see if we can find one. I'm going to look through the whole symbol. It's about 200,000 pages. This is a karma which, by its antidote effect, can destroy all karmic ripenings. Dear Dr. Day, and that's true because Jorlam Sope Gyugi Nyendru Leyin Becher. Because what we're talking about here is the karma in the mind stream of a person who has reached the level of mastery within the path of preparation. Okay? So that's, he's saying you can't go to the, those people can't go to the lower realms anymore. Okay? Which of the four is that in Jorlam? What are the four? Say Tra, Tsemo, Sopa, Chechong. Tra, Tsemo, Sopa, Chechong. Four levels within the Jorlam, path of preparation. What's the first Tra? Need what? Warm, you're getting warm. Warm to do what? To see emptiness directly. Okay, true. Tsemo? Tsemo means what? Peak. Okay, peak. Like a mountain peak. Serpa? Master. Churchill? Highest thing in the world. Highest thing in the world before you see emptiness. Right? That's seeing the pot on the stove, right? Okay. And again, this is in the Yoga Sutra. I mean, the Yoga Sutra has the five forces from Jorlam are in the Yoga Sutra in the first chapter. So that's one of the reasons why it's good to know these things. It's one of the reasons why you can't really appreciate the Yoga Sutra unless you know these other things first. We'll see if there's any other references like that. Consider this bodhisattva who has achieved the first bodhisattva. God. He's quoting the root text here, God, which is to say, say. He's explaining it within a positive. He says, God meaning say. God means stop or shut the door. Say means has finished off all the doors. Hamgo Seisha means my shoes have worn a hole into them, meaning the soul has worn away. They have worn away that. Seba Gerte? Ngendor kewe saban pang meyecher. Say ngendor kewe saban pang meyecher. Ngendor kewe saban pang meyecher. Because they have eliminated the seed for going to the lower realms. Okay? Got it? Then he says something interesting. He says, Deyang se top ngen song yong mi tong she cholam. But somebody comes up and says, wait a minute, don't the text say Deyang Sotop Nyensong Yong Mi Tung? That's a root text, that's a scripture. Once you reach mastery, the level of mastery in the lower path, Jolam, you can't go to the lower realms. She Jolam Sopa Tom Nyensong Dumi Tung or Shepani. Didn't they say you got to that before? Didn't they say that you can't go to lower realms once you get to Jolam Su? Okay. Once you get to Jolam Su, then you don't have to worry that after you die something bad will happen. You can die happily. You can die with confidence. Okay? No, it's a big deal. If you ever die, you'll know. Okay? It's a big deal. You don't have to be scared. As I know, nothing bad's going to happen to me. What is it that gets you there? What is Jolam Su? What's happening at Jolam Su? It's not the direct perception of emptiness here. Say again? Yeah, you're losing certain misunderstandings intellectually about your life. About the lady at the Stop and Shop, Stop and Go, I don't know. Okay, Store and More. Like you're overcoming your intellectual misunderstanding about objects. Okay, so I get mad a lot, and I still want cookies a lot, and under the influence of that desire, I'm still willing to take 1.5 cookies when some people didn't get any. But I understand that. Intellectually, I understand that cookies come from sharing. And intellectually, I got that. You know, so at a certain point, that intellectual understanding, even if you haven't gone into deep meditation and seen emptiness, it's enough to stop a rebirth in the lower realms. So, if you care about dying, if the prospect of dying going somewhere bad disturbs you, which it should, work on your emptiness understanding, and just. At a certain intellectual point, in these kind of classes, you will close the door to the three lower realms. Now to go back to this question. The guy said, why did Master Chandrakirti, bragging about this first level bodhisattva, closing the door to the lower realms, when he did it a long time ago? Shepa ni genma sangwe wang ki yin shing. Say again. Ma sangwe wang ki yin shing. That's just talking about not going to the lower realms because all the necessary causes to get you there can never be complete. You'll always fall short of getting there. You're just about to get to the lower realms and there'll be something missing, like there won't be gas for the car, or, you know, or some little thing won't be there. You see, all the causes to go to the lower realms will be there, and then at the last minute as you're dying, there'll be like, oh, I forgot to bring along this. I can't go to lower realms. You know? You'll fall short. Kien Matsama means something won't be there. Kien Matsama won't be in. Dini Ngendor Kewe Sama Bamba La Cheba Yin Be Dedan Kewa Che. Say Dini Ngendor Kewe Sama Bamba La Chebe Dedan Kepa Chel. Okay, this is a hell of a difference. Kepa Chel. Say Chel. Chel. That's a really goddamn big difference. You know what? Dini Sabin Bangla Che. This is not going to the lower realms because you have eliminated all the seeds to do it. Impossible. Big difference, he says. Okay, big difference. Got it? So the Bodhisattva has eliminated any seeds. If they screw up at the last minute, if they go into their death without knowing the Vajrayogini Kusum Lamkhar process, doesn't matter. They still can't get to the lower realms. If you see what I mean? They just can't. It's just impossible. They burned all the seeds in them. The seeds can't take them there. Okay. That's nice. Who wrote this? Who wrote this text? Can we believe this person? What you do is you look up here and you see 1001. Then you say, who wrote 1001? Well, I like it. Who wrote that? And this is by Gongde Namka Gyaltsen, 1532 to 1592. Who is he? I have no idea. But I can tell you that there's many other commentaries that say the same thing. So he's just one. And he's old, so he must be right. Okay. We got one more verse to do before we can go on with the commentary. And we only have like 10 minutes left. So here we go. Second syllable, a pa changes to wa. Okay. How did Alistair know it's a second syllable? Well, you can know the words, but there's another clue here. That's true too, but so does bai, which means kind. We know it's a second syllable, why? Because of the meter, because of the poetry. Dun 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 dun. Right? Say, Tete,
Di,
So,
Ge.
Boy or Woi? Woi, okay? Because it's the second syllable. Got it? Makia. Double Chue Chen. Double Chue Chen. Say,
Double
Chue Chen. Yeah, there's words where the B doesn't change to W. Like Double. which means lie. But can we say whenever it has a nara on it as a second syllable?
Oh, I meant that the meter, you can't tell what's according to the meter. Sometimes it's
good. Oh, yeah. Sometimes that's true. Okay. All right. What is this sosokyo? Ordinary person. Yeah, anyone who hasn't seen emptiness directly. And when I was first learning Tibetan, I used to remember this word how?
So-so.
They're just so-so. All right, so-so kyo. A normal person, normal suffering person. Okay. We gotta change this. Where in 16 point? I think so. Yeah. Thank you. So there's two kinds of people in the universe. People have seen emptiness directly, and people haven't seen emptiness directly. And you're either a Soso Kyomo, Soso, or you're a Pakpa. Say Pakpa. Pakpa means Arya, and it means higher being. And again, what separates them is just that knowledge. And Arya has seen all their lives to go. They know how many lives they have left to go. They know what's going to happen at the end. So whenever they're like having a bad day, they can just remember, oh, like, I'm probably the first person on this planet that's going to get enlightened. You know, I'm the next person to get enlightened on this planet. That's not so bad. You know, like that. You would feel comfort when you're having a bad day, right? And you also can take comfort in knowing that you're in a really... The sequence of events leading up to that is something extraordinary. Like, nothing in your life is going to be normal anymore. You see what I mean? There's this, we're reading this science fiction book called Wheel of Time, Robert Jordan. We're waiting for book number 10 or 11, I don't remember. Each one is like 600, 800 pages long. But there's a thing in there called Tavern, which is something like, you're so special that events start to twist in your presence. Like a, what do you call, a black hole, or what do you call that thing? Heavy, dense matter, where matter is so dense that time and space itself is twisting in it, nearby it. What do they call it? It's like a black hole, yeah. It's a piece of matter so dense that the very fabric of time and space in its proximity is altered, is twisted. So the same thing for an Arya. So that kind of person events are, and they notice it after a while, and they know that events are, weird things are happening because they got to be enlightened within 7 lifetimes or less. So weird things have to happen around them, you know, and then it's sort of like exciting. It's exciting. It's like a roller coaster or something. And so there's those people, and then. And they're completely separate people. They're in a whole different class. And then there's Soso Kyomos. And Soso Kyomos, they don't have any... We say den. Den. Den means guarantee. Den means guarantee. They don't have any guarantee that things are going to be all right. Like, they say if you brought Lord Buddha here and said, this person hasn't seen emptiness directly. Okay. Can you tell me how their life's going to work out? You know, good or disaster or what? You say, I don't know. I mean, an omniscient being would say, I'm not sure. Deng Mei. No guarantee. You see, they don't have any guarantee. Anything could screw up, anything could go right. You have billions of karmas in your pocket from your past lives. I can't tell you anything. I can't help you. I can't tell you you won't die on the way home tonight if you're a Soso Kyomo, right? No deng about anything. Then that's uncomfortable. If it's fun to be in a place of dense matter where reality itself is adjusting itself to your need to get enlightened within, you know, X number of years, it's equally frightening to be a person who has no assurance about anything, even if you'll be in your skin tomorrow morning, you know. So how do you get from... then you get this desire, you know, okay, I'd rather be on the... the Arya track, you know, like, sounds more fun. Then you have to work on this book, and you have to go to book jimba class. You have to understand Arya Nagarjuna. This all goes back to Arya Nagarjuna. Everything goes back to Arya Nagarjuna. You know, he saw emptiness directly. He wrote about it. We think he was strongly influenced by the Greeks, and maybe Christians and Jews, about his presentation. Maybe that's why the Mahayana happened around his time. But But at any rate, his is a critical time in history. If you can get into Arya Nagarjuna's head, then that's your best chance for seeing emptiness. You see, if you can immerse yourself in Arya Nagarjuna's poetry, then you have a good chance to see emptiness. So if you want to go from not having any guarantee that you're going to be alive tomorrow morning to being on this like roller coaster where you just kind of tweak your nose, you know, and reality adjusts to what you wanted. your whole life, every detail, you know, you can just, things, the whole universe adjusts to what has to happen with you to get enlightened the next number of years. So what gets you from one kind of person to the other is Arya Nagarjuna's words. So that's why we're doing it in Bokjimba, and that's why we're doing it here. Okay. This is now third, fourth generation. Arya Nagarjuna is first generation. So if you're not in Bokjimba class, you should try to get into Bokjimba. Because even just the poetry, you read one verse, it hits you. You know that. You read one verse of that, and you're like, wow. He must be saying something, you know. And so work for that. That's the source, right? Okay. You ready? We'll offer the universe to the lamas, especially Arya Nagarjuna.
Sashi.